This is a CKTZ News update. Campbell River's recent homeless count lists 116 people, a 43% increase over the 2018 tally. That is only one aspect of the Strathcona Regional District's rental affordability crisis. Sue Moen, the Salvation Army's representative in the Campbell River and District Coalition to End Homelessness, also talks about
the number of people who are paying the 40, 50, 60% of their income for a place to live are usually a few paychecks away from joining this 116 people that we counted.
They are part of the roughly 15% of the city's population identified in Campbell River's Housing Needs Report. The Strathcona Needs Assessment states that 22% of the households on Quadra Island and 30% of the households on Cortez Island pay more than 30% for rent. This is a problem throughout the Strathcona Regional District. There's also the problem of seasonal homelessness, when winter tenants have to make way for vacation rentals and owners who return during the summer months. Moen said that while the coalition's mandate extends throughout the entire Strathcona Regional District, up until now, they've only had funding to carry out counts in the region's principal city. This data was made public last month. The point-in-time count only focuses on the people that did not have homes during the evening of April 8th and the day of April 9th, 2021.
There was a team of volunteers and outreach workers, as well as representatives from the Homelessness Services Association of BC, who does all of the counts in the province for BC Housing. So they coordinate all of them. And so the night before, the community counts the number of people and the demographics of the people who are booked into emergency shelters. They look at who are in hospital. They look at who are incarcerated overnight in the city jail. Those are the numbers for the evening before, and then the next day they accessed people through existing day programs, plus they did outreach into known encampments and through networks of service providers reaching out to their clientele, like the Women's Resource Center or the Salvation Army Food Program and Family Service Program, the Moose Bus. So other services that people experiencing homelessness may access. So we also, the community, utilize those to reach out to people.
Give me a breakdown of the overall number.
So 44% of 116 people were considered sheltered. That was the people that were in emergency shelters or in hospital. They were sheltered in the sense that they had a roof over their heads and they might have had a bed, but it was not housing. So the sheltered would have been the emergency homeless shelters, the sobering and assessment center, and other emergency programs like that. So a little over half of the respondents, people reached of 116, half of those people were couch surfing. So anywhere from one night to a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks. And those situations are often no guarantee. People often pay for that, either in services in kind or with cash. 17% of those 60 people, say, were in tents or a makeshift shelter outside. 15% of them are living in their vehicles. And we know that number is very low because we see some people in services or we know of or hear of people, but they are not parking downtown. They're not parking in places that they can be readily seen. So we know that that number is probably significantly higher. And 15% just sleep outside. They don't even have a tent.
There's a public perception that most homeless people are collecting government assistance, but that is not what these numbers show.
Oh, yeah. A significant number of people, their source of income is employment, really. But 35% are on income assistance, through the Ministry of Social Development and Poverty Reduction. And that's where they are receiving $375 is their shelter portion of their payment. And usually they get up to, so it'd be another $300 to $400 a month to live on. Disability benefits are somewhat higher, but there are certainly challenges even there. Although their monthly income is higher, they are still well below the poverty line. And often if they are living with somebody else, particularly as a partner, they may lose their disability benefits if they have a caregiver. And there are other challenges, but mostly it's just the amount of money that they get every month. And persons with disabilities collecting these benefits are allowed to earn up to $1,000 a month without loss of benefits. But over these last 2 years, the barriers to employment have been, very few people have been able to overcome those because they aren't in a position to work remotely. So if they did have some kind of work, very likely they often lost it. And 20% of just subsist with the help of friends and family. These numbers from point in time counts, they're a starting point and a conversation point, because I think they do educate people about who in our communities are experiencing homelessness. There is no stereotype. There is no single group of people. 67% of the respondents have been homeless for over a year. You know, 69% of them experienced homelessness for the first time when they were youth. So we know that there has to be interventions, significant interventions, to prevent people from becoming homeless and to address getting everybody housed. I mean, it is a universal human right to housing. We don't have the stock, and we can't in good conscience just continue to warehouse people in available nooks and crannies, but it's going to require huge, huge investments, and we have to make a choice of who we want the investors to be. We, the public, via our government, the real estate and hedge funds, and people with very, very big money who build to be able to make a profit on the rent. I would hope that people would look at this and recognize that most of us have a very limited and often stigmatizing view of the people experiencing homelessness. Just like people who have a substance use disorder and are dying from a poison drug supply, they are somebody's family member. They are loved. They are cared for. And none of them did it on purpose. The idea that I see often reflected in comments on newspaper articles or interviews about people experiencing homelessness and their challenges seem to imply that people have a choice in so many of these things. And when you are powerless, when you have no income or such little income that you don't have any choices, or when you start your life as a teenager or coming out of care as a young adult with no support and start a cycle of homelessness, nobody wakes up and wants that.
Is the district losing the fight to end homelessness? There was a big push to provide housing, and some of that is now online.
Yeah, locally, BC Housing in the city of Campbell River partnered and erected a 50-unit supported housing building.
And this was online before this count was taken?
Yes.
But the count still went up?
Yep.
Are we losing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we are at this stage, because both poverty and the pandemic have exacerbated a problem that has been getting worse for decades, ever since the federal government got out of non-market housing. You know, in the 70s and 80s, they pulled away and the provincial governments were not able to come close to filling the need. And so the gap between housing need and housing stock has only been growing for the last 40 years. And now it's even affordable housing is out of reach for most people. Two people working minimum wage can barely afford what is called affordable housing. The number of people paying 50% or more of their income for shelter just keeps going up. And people are not housed in a way that is sustainable unless they're spending around 30% of their income. So you add another 20% of that for shelter, and all of a sudden people are making choices between medication or electricity or nutrition, dental care, all of those things. It becomes an untenable choice for people to keep a roof over their heads.
Many households are struggling to pay high rents. 29% of Campbell River's population live in rental accommodation, and close to half of these are devoting more than 30% of their income to housing. The Strathcona Needs Assessments states that 30% of the households on Cortes Island, or 150 homes, and 22% of those on Quadra Island, 250 homes, exceed this threshold. Two-thirds of the renters on Cortes, and an even higher number on Quadra, expressed a desire to own their homes, but said they couldn't afford it. While there are no statistics, every year, a significant number of Cortes Island's population moves out into tents, couch surfs, or finds other accommodation, while their winter homes are used for summer homes or vacation rentals.
What is the seasonal homeless situation like throughout the district?
I personally know people that have seasonal rentals on Quadra, you know, and they come back on the off season repeatedly, often to the same place, but for 6 to 8 months a year, they camp. I know people who do that. In some of the tourist destinations, we know that people are only housed for a short period every year. And once tourist season comes, and those are seasonal rentals, and there's nowhere for them to go. So technically, they are living somewhere, often camping, roaming, whether it's formal or informal. We are just starting to see ads come about, you know, many of the RV parks or the smaller motels. They are starting to advertise monthly rates again, winter rates. So we know that everybody that did have some of those rooms early on, before some of the opening happened, first in March and then again in July, there were people that were housed in those situations. But as soon as tourism opened up, they had to leave because the rates went to daily rates instead of monthly rates. And we see that year after year from Oyster River all the way up to Sayward and Gold River and Tassus, and in between the campgrounds that take trailers or tents, there are people staying in those places in the winter.
You've been listening to an interview with Sue Moen from the Campbell River and District Coalition to End Homelessness about the point in time count in Campbell River, seasonal homelessness in more rural areas, and a sector of the SRD's population that is struggling to pay high rents and living within a few paychecks of becoming homeless.